What I feel that God has led me to share is on eternal, living with an eternal perspective. And I was thinking about the martyrs and how they lived, and then also how I live my life. And I guess the way I would define that would be living with eternity in mind. Just one of the things is, while I was at work the other day, I was thinking, like, the people I work with, like, I don't know if they're saved or not. And if I just go to my job every day and just do my work, like, that's not very meaningful if I don't share with them the good news that I have. Like, recently I harvested some seeds from my garden so I can start them again next year. But if I don't plant them come spring, then they won't grow. And so I need to grow up to plant them in order so they can grow. Some scripture that I want to read is Matthew 5, 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And what I saw in verse 10 and 12 is it pointed to the eternal. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and great is their reward. And then switching over to the martyrs, I was looking at the martyr's mirror and some of the things that they believed and some of the little things that we just take for granted. Like on Wednesday night, we were talking about the statement of faith and things like believer's baptism and not swearing an oath, non-resistance. And they were like tortured brutally, stoned, beaten, burned, crucified, skinned alive, buried alive, hanged, and then burned in an oven. It was fairly horrific. And one of those martyrs was Michael Sattler, who was a converted monk. It's one of the early leaders of the Anabaptists. And some of the things that he was charged with, there's like a list of seven or eight or nine. And some of those were he didn't believe in transubstantiation. And he didn't believe in infant baptism, that doesn't lead to salvation. The sixth is the swearing an oath. he didn't believe that. And about the Lord's Supper, eighth was he left the order and married a wife. And the ninth was interesting. That's about non-resistance. And he was accused of these. Some of these were true in a sense, but they were also twisted to make it sound worse than they were. And it was interesting when reading his response then, and the scripture actually that goes with that, about responding to when you're brought before the magistrates is Luke 12, 11 and 12. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And it was interesting reading his replies and how often he used the Bible. Like only the gospel and the word of God was his one response and part of the response. We admit, for the scripture says, for it is written, the same thing that Jesus used when he was tempted in the desert. And he was killed for what he believed in, things that, like I said, we just take for granted. They seem like little things, but they're a lot bigger than I think we take them for. And he was, I'm not going to say what they all did to him, it's fairly graphic, but he was burned to ashes as a heretic when they were done with him. And the thing that I see with the martyrs in them is living with an eternal perspective helps, it makes that seem not as bad as you think they are, because it's not about the here and now, it's about the future. And a verse that goes with that is Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then I'll close with reading 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'll turn it over to Leon.
Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I really enjoyed the song service this morning, and seems like it went too fast, especially if I have to share. Seems that way. It goes really fast. But I really appreciate it. Appreciate the thoughts that were shared this morning, and Chad for the children's lesson. He told me he warmed it up for me, so I appreciate that, Chad. So I may be calm on the outside, but I may or may not be calm on the inside, so... pray for me. Last Sunday, I was sitting here during the service, and I'm not sure why, but this message came to me, and Then that evening, Weldon texted me and asked me to share this Sunday, and I'm not sure why either. So I just pray that it's a word from the Lord, and I feel unworthy to share it. So if you meet somebody for the first time, if you are maybe you're sitting at a wedding at the reception or something, and somebody's sitting across from the table from you, and you don't know who they are. So you ask them their name, and they tell you their name, and it doesn't ring a bell. You don't know who that, you don't recognize the name. What is the next question that you ask? Or if it's the other way around, if somebody asks you who you are and you give them your name and they're like, they don't know who that is, and what's the next question that they ask? Anybody? Dave, who are your parents? Yes. Specifically, who's your dad? Or who is your father? So that's the title of my message this morning that I'd like to share is, who is your father? Probably a lot of thoughts go through your mind. You know, we have an earthly father. Everybody has an earthly father. But not everybody has a heavenly father. But everybody can have a heavenly father. So the first thing I want to look at here is what is a father besides someone that has XY chromosomes? What is a father, or what should a father do? A good father. And I maybe have some answers to that or some thoughts. When you think of a good father, like maybe it was your father, or maybe it's just a father. You see, you know, there's fathers, a lot of them here, a lot of fathers here. So if you're a father, or if you're a child, what do you think of when you think of a good father? I know this isn't Thanksgiving Day, Father's Day, but we did kind of do Thanksgiving, or some thoughts about Thanksgiving today. So what do you think is a good father? No ideas? Unconditional love. It's a good one.
He's a provider.
Spiritually and materialistic. Anything else?
A good leader.
Unselfish,
prioritizing the needs of those he's taking care of over his own.
That's good.
Protector.
I think I had all those down, maybe a couple more here. He's stable, the stability, present for their children. And present for your children, that just a quick Google search, I looked up of the ones that are in prison, how many of those come from fatherless homes? And it said, it was right at the top there, it said 85% of youths in prison came from fatherless homes. And I had to think of, what was the quality of life in the other 15% if they were there? So we see the importance of being a good father, or having a good father. And there's so many verses in the Bible that we can look at about fathers, good fathers, bad fathers, and I think we're just scratching the surface this morning. I don't think we this is a subject that could go for days, literally. I mean, this is what our whole Christian life is about, is God being our Father. In 1 Timothy, it says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know, we look at, you know, most of us know, you know, what a good father is. And it's not hard to pick it out. And it's very good and it's very right. I just saw the other, last week I think it was, a picture of Thomas and his new son, and he looked pretty pleased. And that is good and that's right. And last Sunday I noticed Victor holding his grandson, and he looked very pleased. He even was nibbling his ear a little bit. So it was like, I really enjoyed that. It's right and it's good. You know, the last baptism we had, remember Dave O was saying that he is proud of his son that was getting baptized. And that's biblical. God said that when Jesus was baptized. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, there's a very strong desire in all of our hearts to want to know who our Father is. And I think this goes spiritually and physically. But just on the physical side of it, you know, you hear stories of those that grew up and they didn't know who their father was. Somehow they were separated, or the circumstances, whatever happened, they ended up maybe adopted or something, and they always wondered who their father was, and mother. But I'm not really speaking about mothers this morning, so I'm just going to focus more on the father. But there's a lot of most people want to really know who their father was. Was he noble? Was he kind? Did he love me? Did he care about me? There's so many questions go through their mind, and even if he wasn't a good father, they still want to know who their father was. They still would like to know where they belong or where they came from. And they go to all kinds of trouble or all kinds of effort to try to figure out who their father was. This example here might not be totally knowing who their father was, but it's this book here that I have, Finding My Father. I had gotten a bunch of them in. I think a lot of you have them or have got a copy of it. If you've read those, how many of you read that copy of Finding My Father? Okay. I do have a couple of these books back on top of the mailboxes. If you want one, if you're a visitor and you want one, that's fine. Just help yourself. But this is a book about Chipino in Honduras, and he's in the area where my sister lives. And his name is Jose Chipino Gavarete, and it's told by Andrew Weaver. And I'll just read a little bit on the back here, what it's about, and then if you decide you want to read it, help yourselves. It says, 5-year-old Jose enjoyed an idyllic childhood in a quaint mountain village of Tambla in western Honduras. He knew his papa, the biggest, strongest, and bravest man in the world, would always protect him. But when his father was seized by a notorious military unit, Jose's world was shattered. Who would care for him now? What had happened to his papa, and would he ever return? Jose's search for the truth about his papa's fate and his longing for a father would continue for decades, even after he made the dangerous journey north to the United States in search of a better life. Not until he came to know God as his father and protector did Jose's fragmented world begin to heal. His new faith led him on an unlikely journey back to his homeland, where the quest to uncover his father's fate at last reached a dramatic conclusion. So, in a couple weeks, we actually hope to meet Chipino. We're planning on going over there, our whole family, spending about 10 days. So pray for us as we do that. So if God is our Father, what makes God your Father? What makes you a son, or what makes you a daughter? You know, we see all the good things that God wants to give us. We see all the good things that He wants to shower upon us. But what makes us a son or a daughter? You know, we talked a little bit at brothers' meeting about Jesus being the only begotten Son of God. And we can all be sons and daughters, but we're not really a begotten son. We're not just automatically a son or a daughter. So what makes us a son or a daughter? The blood of Jesus. Salvation, obviously. That's probably the most obvious thing. But there's also some other things that as I was studying this, that maybe weren't quite so obvious. One of them is to endure chastening. In Hebrews it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." That's a strong word, bastards. If we don't endure chastening, we are not sons of God. Next one, to accept correction, a little bit the same as the first one. In Proverbs it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even the son in whom He delighteth." Another thing is to be wise and righteous. "As the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." Fearing God. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read a couple verses here. Says, "By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." I'm sorry, I'm started in the wrong place. I'm jump down to verse 14. "But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I'm going to read the verse right before that again. "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be your father, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." So we see that we need to be separate and to not touch the unclean thing. So if we have an earthly father, he'll always be our father. That will never change. But what happens, what disqualifies us as a son or a daughter of our Heavenly Father? As we just saw, if we don't endure chastening, we're an illegitimate son, which is what bastards mean. Another one is if we hate our brother. In John it says, if a man said, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Another one is, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, God is not your father. Another one I have is denying that Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to read some verses in John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know, as I was looking at some of this, the amount of emphasis that is put on fathers and lineage and all this, and, you know, especially in the Old Testament, is just something that we just don't see today. The importance they have of who was their father. And it comes out here as Jesus is talking to them. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. And then he says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So they're separating Christ, Jesus, from themselves right there and saying he was born of fornication, referring to the virgin birth there, and that they were holding themselves higher than him and saying they were Abraham's seed. And then Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So how do we be like that, like God? How do we be a good father? I know that goes for everybody, even if you're not a father. But
But how do we be a good father? Maybe we should act like our father. You know, you hear sayings sometimes it's not always said in the nicest way, but when someone says he's a chip off the old block, it might not be in reference to something nice, I don't know. Or you hear the words, he acts just like his dad. Like I said, a lot of times maybe that's in the negative, but let's act like our father. What does God do? How does God act? How does God love us? How does God love those that don't love him? Let your light shine. It says, let your light shine. So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew is that verse. So we should let our light shine. Can we, if we don't know how to tell people about the Father, maybe we could just point to the Father. How can we point to the Father? You know, it's been quite a while, and I kind of forget how totally what happened for sure. But one time I was at on business. I was at an Amish place. I went to this Amish place. And there was like a whole row of boys there, and they were like pretty young, and they were just standing there staring at me, and I was staring at them, I guess. There was no one else around. It was just the little boys there, and I don't know Dutch, and they don't know English, and so what do you do? But fortunately, I know maybe a few phrases, so all I had to say is, "What's to that?" And they all point to the barn, or they all point to the house, or to the shop, or wherever he was. And that kind of struck me, like, you know, you might be too young, or you might be too inexperienced, or whatever, but can you just at least point to the Father? Can you at least show people where he is? There's a verse in Matthew here, a couple verses I'd like to read also. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Ye seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him?" So basically, there's our answer. We already know. We know what it is to give good gifts to our children. We know what it takes, mostly. We just have to do it. And in Corinthians, another verse, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." So we can be begotten through the gospel. I said that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, but we can be begotten through the gospel. So who is your Father?